Welcome to the first space, the Paranoia Initiative. Coincidence? I think not. We have some fun stuff to talk about today. I hope you guys are ready. This is awesome. Thank you all for coming. We have a preview for Journeyman Space. So this is the first space of the night. So I don't know if we have had any other Bitcoin Army spaces. It's currently at two on Tuesdays, not three yet. So
yeah, two for Tuesday, eventually three for Tuesday.
Yes, we'll see who the third one's going to be. We're going to make them all day. So this space is going to be, it is going to be recorded. So I will be posting it on YouTube as an archive. So we're going to have just like a, you know, a catalog of the Paranoia Initiative on my channel, the Bitcoin Nova. So you can go back and listen to them as like a podcast, since X doesn't do a great job of keeping these, I think, after 30 days. So hello, everybody. We're having some more people join here. So this is the Paranoia Initiative. We're going to be talking about things that we don't trust. It's going to be a fun space. I want to hear all your thoughts on our topics today. But yeah, I have a couple of ideas. Killer B had a really great idea, and I wanted to talk about that stuff today. So let me go to the first topic. I want to talk about the timing. So I'm always questioning things when I look at the timing of connected events, you know. So I like to think about the red string, you know, connecting the dots. And, you know, I don't know if a lot of you in here like to do those kinds of things, but we had a little bit of a paranoia about Core, you know, about Bitcoin Core and the incentives, you know, behind what Core is doing. And that aligned very well timing wise with the Department of Commerce pushing economic data onto the blockchain. So, you know, we're just a little paranoid about the fact that Core has, you know, these reasons for wanting to do what they're doing. And then at the same time, I just kind of wonder at the moment that the US government decides to publish this economic data, you know, spamming the blockchain essentially, it kind of gives more of a reason for Core to say, see, this is why we need to do this, right? Because all this data is coming in and we need to do to initiate these changes. So I think the timing is very interesting. What do you all think? You want to say something about that, Killer B?
I mean, it's hard not to kind of see it like that, right? I mean, it's just, you know, coincidences typically don't happen by accident, right? I mean, there's a difference between like, you know, a ladder falling near something and like triggering something else. It's like, that's a coincidence. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's a happenstance. Like, you know, the likelihood of that happening is like, you know, one in a million, right? You know, you knock something in, you know, into a basket you're not even intending to, right? A waste basket or something. Like, that's just, you know, whatever. Like, when it comes to like co-occurring things where there are people in play and they're making decisions, I tend not to be unable to see it by accident, right? I mean, I don't know. That's just sort of how it's like.
I mean,
now all of a sudden we're lifting all of these, like, you know, all of these all of these filters and just saying, oh, filters don't matter. Like, it's all going to come in anyway. So whatever. But like, that's not the same as, you know what I mean? It's not the same as like what goes into your mempool. And
mm-hmm. It's hard to think about the coincidence of that. You know, when we say there are no coincidences.
Right. Like, I mean, they're just not accidental. Is what I say. I mean, there are coincidences. It's just two incidents happening at the same time, right? But it's not mm-hmm. by accident. Like, a lot of times, often by design. And mm-hmm. you have to look. I mean, this is not like, you know, making accusations. This is just threat modeling, right? And honestly, like, that's been a common practice, you know, since Core has been around. I just like looking for attack vectors. This is what like you would, I mean, ideally, right? I know we don't get what we want, right? Because we're plebs, we're nobody, right? We just hold Bitcoin and we're just happy for the experience and grateful, you know, that you're, you know, sitting there tapping away at your keyboard and writing code and making things all so much better, right? And we're just supposed to trust like the process, right? Mm-hmm. The process is being created by people, and I don't fucking trust people. I verify who I deem, you know, honorable or reputable or whatever the fuck. Like, I, you know, you have to like, you know, pony the fuck up. And I'm sorry, but like anything that you've done in the past, I don't care if you were like Satoshi's best friend. I don't care if you were Satoshi's dog. Like, if you're a bad dog, you're being a bad dog. Like, the actions that you're doing today are not conducive with the actions of yesteryear. So, like, miss me with this bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I have some, you know, interesting ideas, because this is it. It's like you just think about how and why these things are happening. And I spoke to a guest today who I thought was super fascinating, and he got me thinking a little bit too about how he was running a Bitcoin meetup in Peru, and that Bitcoin meetup only had, you know, 6 people. And this episode is going to be coming out soon, so you guys can see more from his side, you know, what he had to say about it. But he had 6 people in this meetup in Peru, and he is a, you know, co-founder, CEO and co-founder of a mining company. And, you know, just to think you're across the globe, you're far away from the United States, but he mentioned that there was someone who attended that 6-person meetup who was from a 3-letter agency and in the US. And then he just started to get that little tinfoil hat on, because he's like, if there's incentives or reasons for somebody to come check out my operation here, where I have 6 people getting together, you know, for a meetup across the world. You know, when you think about what's going on with Core here, you just wonder if there's somebody coming to, you know, oversee what's happening in different parts of the world. And then how many people here maybe have their eyes on what's going on and maybe have an incentive to kind of push different changes maybe to the blockchain. So I think as much as people think Core was, you know, the first one and, you know, the biggest one, I just find it fishy. You know, it's very suspicious on, you know, the way that it's presented, the way that people try to just talk in circles about all the, you know, the technical parts of Core and why they're doing what they're doing. And it reminds me of what somebody posted. I had reposted it. It was from The Big Short, the scene where Margot Robbie's sitting in the bubble bath explaining what was going on with the financial markets. And, you know, she was saying it's meant to bore you. It's meant to make you uninterested so they can continue doing the schemes and play the games that they're playing. So you're not paying attention the whole time. So when somebody made the same clip over with Core and Knots, and it's almost like you're just trying to bore people with all your talk, you know, it's that whole idea, keep it simple, stupid. If you can't describe it in a simple way, why these things are being done, you're just trying to confuse people. It's almost like someone's pulling the wool over your eyes kind of idea.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have some requests here. I know Zato Ichi, I've been engaged with his content quite a bit. And I think he definitely has some interesting things to say. I'm going to bring mm-hmm. him up. Journeyman's here. Right mm-hmm. Give me a second here. All right, Zato Ichi.
What's up, Zato? Go ahead. We're listening.
My phone just went. It was actually me. I was the one who posted that.
Was it?
Right on.
Really, that was amazing.
Thank you. I really enjoyed putting that together. Just you know, if you guys are familiar with the game of Go, the Japanese chess, right? The games are super simple, so the direct attacks never work. They're just simply too obvious. So the masters in general, they would just soften you up from the corners, then in the center, again in the corners, in very subtle ways. And if you see what's happening, it's very curious if you think about it. So first of all, you have this the reduction in minor fees, right? And that came on Adam's admission today. It came from basically you have all these scam projects. He only talked about JPEGs. So it's not just JPEGs. It's all the scam projects that come in. They pull out the liquidity. They shift the incentives. They attract all the miners over to that work. When they collapse, it's a shock to the market. So the fee market collapses. And it's a race to the bottom. And I was actually one of the few people a long time ago was saying, guys, because of the emissions, it will get worse before it gets better. You will see zero fees because it makes sense. They're still making money. I'm a miner as well, right? So yeah, I'll do it. I still, if I get a block, I still get my 3 Bitcoin or less later. But it is acceptable. Your terms are accepted, right? But as mining becomes important for states and corporations and three-letter agencies to process their transactions, they are the only ones that are capable of something that's called sacrificial mining, meaning there's some threshold past which I'm going to shut my miners down. Maybe not, like I'm really into it, so it's a hobby, whatever. I'll keep 200 terahash, and I'll be paying whatever $100 a month, whatever that costs me. But in general, the public companies won't be able to do that. There simply wouldn't be an incentive, and there will be a delay between the Bitcoin becoming, let's say, the size of gold, and then, for instance, to move gold, you need what? You need 3 to 5%, maybe 10%. You need to prove what it is. You need to secure it. You need to store it, you need to protect it. So that's called the spread or the fee. Real estate, same way. At some point, Bitcoin as well would be the same thing. You know, we will see very high fees, and that is okay. We have all two, but that will take years. And meanwhile, imagine this drought of independent miners and the entirety of the mining industry shifting to the sacrificial mining, which only states entities with an agenda can have. So this is very obvious, right? The second one is, I actually did some precedent research for legal cases, and indeed, it does matter whether the illicit material. And by the way, I really don't appreciate how we went after the CP. You know, it got tiresome. It's a very unpleasant topic, and it was kind of like, you know, you boxing and you just keep your little punches in the same spot. So we should definitely diversify. It's not just about that, right? There's copyright material, there's terrorist related things, there is state secrets which could be published, there is incitement to violence, there's so much that could go wrong. And this happens, and you know, I'm gonna put my tin foil hat on. For those of you who are fans of the cycle, I personally think macro means a lot more right now to the markets. And the cycles are probably dead, thanks to Sailor and REST and ETFs and the efforts of all the people that we've been buying. Thank you very much. But for those that believe in it, and that's a very powerful sort of narrative, it would be October, September, November, something like this, right? This is the beginning of the bear. And look at the version 30 release, literally coordinated with that date.
The dates, yes, the timing. Thank you.
Yeah,
the timing is suspicious as AF, right? That, very unpleasant. So think about the timing. So first of all, so you guys are obviously aware of Slipstream. If you want me to describe it, I can explain it. Right, a Slipstream. Right, there are things to counteract it. So Chris created Garbage Man, which is basically, you know, pretending to be a Libre node, which kind of aggregates this good old boys club for submission to malicious miners. So all of that set the precedent for zero fees. And you have to know, right, this is not consensus. Consensus doesn't prevent zero fees. This is all in the policy. And what you can actually do is you can start setting your own settings in your NOTS node as well, by the way, or the core node to remove the limits on which the terms in which you're willing to mine. And it was basic greed. It is very good game theory. It's basically, you know, there's this thought put out into the market is like, hey, you're missing out. You're missing out. People don't even understand. Like it doesn't affect your finding blocks. You'll still get three point whatever, but it just, you know, it's sacrificial to the point of peace, but not, go ahead.
Yeah. So what is it with what is the timing? Like what is happening in October that you said is coordinated? Like what's happening at the same time?
Yeah, so two things, right? The reduction of fees to zero. So there's actually been blocks mined at zero fees, reportedly. I'm not sure about that, but you know, one sat is bad enough. The version 30, and okay. Somebody on this, there's one guy who's kind of decent. He's just a geek, and he talks good game, but he's a core guy because he probably likes to do stuff, right? And he's like, in a reasonable manner, not like Shinobi. He's like, look, bro, here's what I see. Like, I have 40% of my peers offering sub one sat transactions, mm-hmm. fees. I pushed back and I said, I don't believe it. That would imply 40% of all the people nodes out there are tweaking their obscure settings in the node. Like, I would know how to do that. Majority of people would not, and it doesn't make sense. So he backed off. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed something. I don't think it was intentional. So yeah, he said, actually, you know, it's more like 20% or 30%, but it's very significant, right? So yeah. All the what's more significant is, you know, we're centralized, right? There is the narrative and the reality, but then, you know, there's mitigating factors. And like, why is Ocean so great, guys? Like, mm-hmm. Luke actually is, it sucks it's only one person, right? But it's remarkable. He literally saved Bitcoin from core six times. Yeah. He's like, I'm not even brown nosing. It's true. The core is an awful programming shop.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off as far as keeping that thought in your mind. Don't forget where you're going with this. But when you think about core, it just reminds me of politics, you know, in a way. Like, you know, it's a political thing in a way where sometimes I wonder why some of the biggest names in the Bitcoin space are defending it so much, because you just wonder if you know, for all the years that they've been around and for all the connections they've made to people that have grown core, they you know, they're close with certain people, they almost have to feel like, because I've known you so long, I have to defend you because that's what I should be doing. But is it what's right? Is that what your intuition is telling you, that this feels right? Because it doesn't feel right to so many Bitcoiners. And as much as Core likes to say, because it is, you know, you're going against consensus, it's like, no, this is a healthy thing that's happening in the ecosystem, to have people rise up and actually show that we don't agree with it, so the consensus will move the other direction, you know. So it means that maybe what one person is doing isn't, just because they're right now consensus doesn't mean it'll stay that way. If it's the immune system of Bitcoin rising up to actually, you know, move consensus the other direction, you know. So it does feel political to me. It feels like there's people that maybe have made friendships or connections over time where they're trying to, you know, defend someone's, you know, ideas, or defend someone's just their opinion, you know, because they think that they should, you know. But I just think that voice inside tells you, you know, that critical thinking is what paranoia is to us, I think, a lot of us. So when you're paranoid, you're actually listening to that inner voice. You're listening to your intuition, and you just feel like something doesn't feel right. And that's kind of how we feel about it, a lot of us.
Let me, you know, since the topic is paranoia, I'm usually not that mm-hmm. that type, right? But since this is the topic, let me shift you into deeper paranoia.
Nice.
Right? And you just for entertainment purposes, guys, I highly advise to stay balanced, and that's what I demand of myself. So that's why I don't really.
It's a little fun. Yeah, it's not like we're trying to.
Yeah, it's just
crazy.
Fun. Okay.
Yeah, this is why not.
Let's, yeah,
just for fun, with no further disclaimers. Right. Okay. I think it goes beyond that. So I've run a number of large companies that I started, and I was part of various organizations. So I understand politics. This is beyond politics. What I see is the following dynamic. Number one, so the political thing, which is a power play, you have in the older organizations, with aging and less capable but hungry power leadership, if you can call it that. I don't think there's any quote unquote proper leadership in core as it should be. Like there's just horrific, just horrific leadership per se. You can't call it leadership. It's just nonsense. But you know, aside from that, so I don't go on a rant. You have these. They get old, right? You have Peter Todd, you got Adam, definitely getting too old. If you're listening at his rhetoric, not to be ageist, you know, I'm hitting it there, but he's just not sharp anymore, to a degree. And then I'll talk about him being corrupt. But then you have outsiders like Peter Todd. He's not a quarter per se, right? But he is. It's the whole Bailey thing, right? You don't get to speak at my conference unless you're in line. And then you have the Adam thing, and you have all the new guys like Antoine, right? And
when
the
you
only
say
girl
Adam, who are you talking about when you say Adam?
Back.
Adam.
Okay,
Adam.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because recently he defended that, I was kind of surprised by it. I guess
I had an actual back and forth with whoever is controlling his account. Let's put it that way. Speaking of paranoia, his rhetoric is just. It's spin. It's all it is. It's spin. And he's been doing it with Mechanic. Mechanic, like, it was one of the first things I read on X today. It was Mechanic was just, like, tired of just getting the runaround every time he tried to have a conversation with Adam. And I feel like, you know, obviously, like, Blockstream has donated to Core. So, yeah, I think Eric had pointed it. Eric B. Hodlin pointed it out, like, Blockstream has donated to Core, so they really, like, you might not want to, like, publicly take such an L, like, in light of everything that's going on. So he's, you know, he's kind of pulling his trump card of, like, you know, I'm OG, and you know, I know what I'm talking about. But every time confronted with actual questions, like, I sent him a series of questions. I was trying to get him on Crime Watch tomorrow at 9, right? And you know, see if he'll answer some questions, like, you know, voice to voice, right, face to face, you know, as far as here goes. And I mean, dude, he just, it's dizzy, and it's
like
happening.
It feels political, it's right? It feels, because you said, yeah, he donated money. It feels like, why?
Wanna, yeah, mm-hmm. he's not having serious conversations. When it gets to, like, a point that he's trying to make, he cements a specific point, which is literally a straw man argument. Because he's attacking something that nobody's even saying. And you know what I mean? It's like, we understand that the filters are not going to determine what ends up on the blockchain. That is not the point. The point is, this isn't, like, and this is the thing that drives me nuts. Like, you guys are, like, developers for, like, you're developers for the fucking literal, like the Sound Money project, like the universal, like all of us, every human. Like, this is life-changing technology. You should be paying attention to attack vectors. And what are you doing? You're removing filters. It's fucking, it's lockstep fiat slave shit.
Well, so killer. Like, Zato had this post, I think, on his profile, and I read that today. And it started off by saying there's a big difference between accepting data that has always been a part of a system and unilaterally changing that system to deliberately allow a specific data type that was not previously possible. And I don't think many people understand that. So I'm just going to really leave it at that. Like, I'm pretty paranoid in the sense that I just want freedom and control of my money. And if you're going to be putting in data that I don't want in there, then you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And the answer is, trust me, bro. You know, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's trust me, bro. It's like, you don't know enough as I do. You know,
you press further, and if you press further, it's fucking, oh, well, you're, you know, you're delusional, you're this, you're that. Like,
but that's the same thing as gaslighting, like it is in, like, the whole Big Short, you know, with that's why Margot Robbie had to break it down, because they bore people with such information to the point that most people just, like, walk away from it. Or I've heard some people say they choose not to even mine Bitcoin or run a node because they're so sick of this. So that's just not a good thing to
yeah. And know. No point to that and say, oh, look at what you're doing. This is all your fault. And the worst thing, I'm sorry, Zato, just one second. Like,
but
just this one thing that drives me absolutely nuts, and I'm pretty sure Adam Backs tweeted it or whatever, posted it, right? It was something about like, we're like literally, I don't know where it came from. I want to say him. I'm just targeting him right now, unfortunately. Sorry, sorry, bro. But like, it's the opposition to the adversary is what created the adversary. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, if I'm dancing in traffic, I'm totally safe unless I open my eyes. If I open my eyes, it's all my fault because like cars don't exist on the fucking freeway. Like, this is the level of like conversation that we're having. This is what they'll allow for. We bring up serious like worries and concerns, and they're just like, "Ah, bro, you're just being crazy. That's just silly. You didn't, you know, you must have left the fucking light on."
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important to point out the fact that that feeling you get, you know, that I don't trust you feeling, you know, you actually, a lot of people have that, and you don't have to know every single thing they're saying, because it just sounds like they're trying to confuse you. It sounds like what gaslighting is. So Zato, what were you gonna say?
I just wanted to make it a little bit scarier. So, you know, and they go into try to say is that it is not it's not a JPEG anymore because we XOR it. So I'm a coder, I know what that means. It shuffles the bytes. So XOR is a logical operation, and the quote unquote encryption does this. You do a loop, and for every byte, you do byte XOR some number, which is a key. Okay, it doesn't work, and here's why. And then here's how you should answer them: is that prosecution courts don't care if native formats which contain illicit data, and not doesn't have to be CP, again, it could be violent speech, it could be state secrets, it could be a copyright material, if they are encrypted. Otherwise, none of these cases would go. Here's an example. Your Lux LUKS encrypted Linux machine, right? That's not protection. They're going to ask you for the key. You're going to try to say freedom of speech, and they're still going to get it, right? Or a zip file or an RAR file. They're going to say, yeah, but it has a password. It never holds up in court. You have to give up the password. If you don't, they're going to prosecute you. But in this case, it is worse because the password to the XOR encryption, guess what? It is stored on the same node. So what I foresee is in a few years, if V30 becomes a thing, there will be this catchy news articles, you know, child porn found on a million, whatever, 10,000 or 1,000 nodes, whatever. They're gonna drop people into court, and then what's gonna happen is the corporations will not be able to get compliance to run a node. And then that is why I actually confronted Adam directly, and I said, okay, man, so he's spinning up a public treasury company, Bitcoin treasury company, right? How does that make sense that he's getting into a situation where he's not able to validate transactions or rather, it wouldn't be them, it would be their custodial party, right? Custodial party wouldn't be able to validate transactions because they couldn't get the approval from their board to engage in something that can potentially spread illicit material. So that's where I'm, you know, keep on going in paranoia. I think there's some kind of compromising material involved where it's not just the money, because Adam is definitely acting against his principle, against his interest. I am convinced majority of core developers do not own Bitcoin. They do not act like they care about the notional value of Bitcoin. All of their actions, every single one of their actions basically says, pump my bags of shit coins and ordinals and whatnot and runes. I don't care about the Bitcoin price. I would be glad if it dumps. Maybe then I'll buy it at the bottom, right?
That's crazy.
Adam is different. Yeah, Adam's different. Adam has money. Adam has Bitcoin. Adam started the Bitcoin treasury company. So that's where I'm thinking, guys. You know, there were these allegations of rape, right? There's all of this stuff going on. And Peter Todd and Todd and Lop are two people, right, that are very suspicious. Why? Number one, the removal of 21 million limit. You guys know that? So
yeah, I've heard about
Yeah, they tried.
Okay,
to do that.
So it's true. Multiple times you said, "Oh, you know, infinite inflation, no big deal. Once you guys get used to it, right? It's only weird the first time." Secondly,
so
the
it was
thing
Peter
that
Todd that proposed that, right?
Correct. And then the law it going after the Goldilocks. So Goldilocks are variable blocks, and that is a direct attack on Bitcoin. Why? This is how the block size war actually was lost on this principle. It wasn't, I mean, theoretically, it was about the power, right? But the narrative was, we do not want big blocks, which is BSP. BSP
well,
has gigantic blocks.
I have a paranoia about that whole situation. I think that, you know, this is totally probably insane and probably nobody thinks this, but because Peter Todd was in that HBO documentary, that Money Electric, and people were, you know, not that many of us believe he's Satoshi, but they were really trying to point to the fact that he's Satoshi. I was trying to say that for anybody who might believe that, maybe by him proposing this would actually like push everyone away from him thinking it's Satoshi, because Satoshi would never do such a thing. So he's probably trying to just like be like, it can't be me, because I would, you know, Satoshi wouldn't do that, right? So that's
why. He predated that. He predated that was way predated.
Stacy, Stacy, please remind me at the end of the show about what you just said, because I had an idea for a new show. I wanted to
Okay. Yes. I love this. Awesome. So that's very interesting. And all this, I want to have, if you have anything else to say, Zato, but I want to hear Lily speak too, if she's got something to say. But pretty much just all of this happening at the same time as the government deciding to spam also is just very weird. So Lily, you can go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, I have a couple of them at the same time. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to start with, but with Adam, I think he has other interests as well, because, you know, he just, Blockstream has the backer, and what's the backer interested in? So he really has to justify what his backer supports, which they like NFTs and all that stuff. I'm not saying that is it, but I mean, these things have to be considered. For all these people that are promoting to change it from being money.
Yeah, I mean, there is a connection there.
Yeah, so it's the same with some of the other core developers that have, you know, several of them work for Chaincode, and, you know, it's a bunch of different things. But also, I think that some of the core developers think of it as just, you know, they're far away from thinking of it as money, and they think of it more as technology. And no matter what we do, we're always going to be having to fight for or to mitigate the path towards centralization, because it's always going to be going towards centralization no matter what. And this is what it is right now. It's always going to happen, because that's especially with all these new, you know, treasury companies everyone's dipping in, it's all going to go towards centralization. So it's just the battle for this year.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing, because, you know, it reminds me of something me and Sats were talking about with Freeborn Farmer on our episode when we were talking about defending the soul of Bitcoin and all the stuff that's happening, because it's one of those things that when you connect it back to, you know, nature, you know, when we connect it back to farming and nature, and it's like Bitcoin is this proof of work. It's working the way it is. But then when you have corporations and companies coming in trying to say, well, this will benefit you if we start adding preservatives to make it have a longer shelf life, and, you know, for the food industry, let's say. And then so the companies come in with your best interest, quotation marks, in mind to change something. Yeah, to make it better for you, because they say that they think we should change nature to be, you know, better and different and alter it because it'll benefit you. But it's this corporation as a board, as a group of people coming together, deciding these things for you, and make these changes. And then when it doesn't work, then they changed again and changed again. And then that's when it leads to the slippery slope of all these changes continuing to happen, because they think they start off doing it for the best interest of Bitcoin, the best interest of the people, the network of Bitcoin. Just like in the food industry, it's like, we think we'll push out food faster to people. People will, it'll be more convenient. You don't have to do all this hard work yourself. You know, so it's like the same kind of idea when you think about removing from nature and getting away from proof of work the way it was meant to be. And just thinking that you're trying to help people or help the system and improve it, but maybe it doesn't need improvement. Maybe people just need to plant some seeds and grow their own food, you know? So that's kind of what we talked about in that episode. And I thought that was just like a, you know, a first principles way of thinking about what's going on.
What did you mean by getting more centralized, just for people listening?
Well, naturally, everything starts leaning towards centralization, no matter what. And it's always under the guise of like convenience, okay? Because how many people do you know, they're like, you start talking about a node or you start talking about self-custody, and that's all the things you have to do to really enter or exit the system, right? So then they start making things easier. And so everything starts leaning towards centralized third parties handling these things. And then we just end up in the same spot. No matter what system it is, everyone's always trying to make things more efficient and more centralized. And yes, some of them are bad actors. Some of them are just doing it to try and make things easier. You know, like the 70-year-old person that's not really going to try and figure out how to mine or run a node or do self-custody or do Lightning, you know, it's a lot.
Then there's another thing that I thought was very fascinating when I spoke today with Kent Halliburton, the CEO of SaaS Mining, was something that he said really struck me as part of this first principles of what Bitcoin is. He said that people, sometimes Bitcoiners, have amnesia when it comes to thinking about Bitcoin as not being priced in dollars, but being priced in the energy that's used to produce the Bitcoin. So, you know, I found it very fascinating because he was talking about how prior to when Coinbase entered the scene in 2013, I think it was, prior to that, people only got Bitcoin for mining, you know. So so I love his idea and his company, because what he's doing is he's actually, they host mining as a service. So what you could do, which is pretty freaking cool, is what you do is, you know, you can actually buy the hardware and they host it in a different country where the energy is much cheaper. So you're paying for the energy your Bitcoin miner is using to earn Bitcoin. And most of us think of Bitcoin as, hey, I'm just going to go stack some sats today, buy it on the exchange for $111,000. But when you're paying based on the energy that, you know, is used to mine this Bitcoin, you're paying $85,000 per Bitcoin. So you're paying more for the centralization of this. You're paying more for the exchange to give you the Bitcoin instead of going back to the roots and getting it directly from the mining. So I love this idea of this company, and I want to promote it. I think it's pretty freaking amazing because, you know, you can buy the miner, you don't have to have it in your house, and you could have it as like they host it for you and you just get Bitcoin directly to your wallet at the fee of the energy that's used in a cheaper location. So if you were to do that here where you live, let's say in America, you know, the wattage per, you know, kilowatt per hour is so much more expensive here. But in a country like Peru where he's at and where his operation is, it's like 6 cents per kilowatt hour or something like that instead of like 17. So you're paying a cheaper energy to run your miner, and then you're earning Bitcoin straight to your wallet. And that is back to basics. That is like, people forget that you don't have to use centralized exchanges. You don't even have to, you know, actually just buy sats only from based on dollar exchanges and exchange rates from a company or corporation. You can just go back to your roots and proof of work it yourself, not just running a node only. You can actually have your own miner this way and actually mine Bitcoin. So I think that was like pretty eye-opening. And it's kind of like we forget that there's, and I think he's the first company doing this, like providing mining as a service instead of how some other companies are doing it right now. So, and I asked him, by the way, while we were talking. He said he's putting his tinfoil hat on during our episode, which was amazing. But he said that I asked him, so did you choose what you're running? Are you going to run knots, or do you run knots, or are you choosing core? And he actually chooses knots. And we talk about why, and some of the things are what we covered today here so far. But yeah, he's all about knots, and he hadn't really talked about that publicly. So it was really incredible to hear his view on that. And that makes it even more a reason why I would want to run, you know, a miner through a company like that, you know, that's actually backing knots. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, he's good. I like Kent. I like the company. Nice. As mining. I met him a lot.
Nice.
I met him quite a bit. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
For sure. All those things are true.
I mean, he's got this, you know, he's technical. He understands all of that side of it, but he also understands the incentives and the, you know, the reason why it doesn't sound like it makes sense. Like, it just sounds like, you know, things that I've heard people say about people on the core end of things. They say, I just don't trust. I have a weird feeling about that person. That's why I don't trust knots. But this is the same reason why people on the knots side don't trust core developers, you know. So he has that intuition about him, and he really talks about that and how you should really trust that part of yourself, and why, you know, why people do it. You know, we even mentioned the bullshit detector, like how you can you know, sort of just hear how people speak and just realize that it's like some kind of alarm bell goes off.
Yeah, like when Shinobi speaks, not to bring up any names, but I dropped in the chat or in the comments here, Jeff Booth, when he did his interview. And then this is just a clip that I dropped in there, but it's really good. And he talks about, you know, how he's using knots. It's a really good piece, but it's a lot longer, but that's just a little clip.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Good.
Yeah, he is it's like when Jeff Booth speaks, they say people listen, right? You know, but Jeff Booth doesn't have a yelling at you sort of way of describing things. He's not forcing you to do anything. He just you know, exits, you know, he's outside that system looking in, and he explains things in such a great way that pretty much every Bitcoiner refers to Jeff Booth. So if Jeff Booth has this opinion, and he mentions in that clip about how he is going to choose knots, you know, I think of Jeff Booth as, you know, he's got good instinct on bullshit detectors, sort of. And I think he's very much a decentralized kind of guy. You know, he likes, you know, Noster, and, you know, we might get the space, you know, my paranoia will think that the space will end if I start mentioning Noster, but, you know, he thinks that, you know, Noster is a decentralized platform, and it's newer, but it's kind of the place to be and grow, you know, so he believes in all that stuff. And that's why I trust those kind of opinions that he has. So thank you for sharing that in there.
Yeah, you have to keep the bullshit detector, you know, sharp.
And I love that. I think it was
like, like, I mean, if you just listen to the rhetoric and just look, every time there's like a criticism, it's spun as like we're crazy for criticizing. Like, how is that not, like, how do you not see that for the bullshit that it is? And I mean, the folks that I've seen, you know, I'm blessed with sanity on my timeline, right? Lately. So, I mean, thank you. People out there, like, especially Zato Ichi, for things like that. The accountant is requesting. I think I would like to hear from him. Mm-hmm. I know he's or she. I don't know. The accountant could be a she. But let's find out.
Yes. Hello there.
Hello, the accountant.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Hello, testing, 1, 2, 3. How are you?
Hey, good, how are you?
Doing very good, thank you. Having had the pleasure of meeting some of you earlier, but I saw a meme from Lily a few minutes ago about the meme format with the guy on the bicycle with the stick into the tire. And the comments that you guys were mentioning a few seconds ago is everything is very, how you say, it synchronizes.
Yes.
And if, when it doesn't, automatically you know the vibration is not right. Look at this last documentary that HBO made about electronic money, where you can see the personalities of the people involved in Bitcoin Core. And that gives you a sense of how they behave with others. And Bitcoin is not money for coders. Bitcoin is for money for people like many I know, and people like myself who need this money, because if not, the government is going to take more than half of it. And they don't see that. And when they don't see that, they are not useful to us. We need people like everyone here that agrees with the fact that Bitcoin is fuck you money and nothing else.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yeah, it's that slippery slope. We don't want to enter that. You know, we don't want them to keep changing things and changing things more. And, you know, all of a sudden you have a washing machine that lasts you 4 years and you have to buy a new one, you know, so it's like nothing lasts anymore. You know, they have to keep repairing and changing and upgrading, you know, so we just don't want it to get corporate and get cheap and get, you know, diluted and get bad for us. You know, I think Bitcoin is good for us right now, so we want to keep it that way.
Agree. We need something solid to stand on. And that, for the past 10 years, Bitcoin has given that to me, at least on a financial end. Because when you see all this crap from the fiat system, it's just absurd. Now that we look at it from the outside, that we have already taken the exit, that we are not there with them, that we are here, we can truly see how they play with society and how they abuse society. So this ability to be outside and with the effect that these young kids, because you have to understand that since COVID, most of the shit coins went down. So all the coders from the shitcoin projects are starting getting close to core. Since 2014, I would say. And after Sitka of 2017, they truly got close to the coders of core. And that's when companies subsidized by third-party entities and big miners started approaching core to start making changes. I remember that during COVID, the amount of updates was kind of absurd. Suddenly they jumped from Bitcoin 0.21, 0.0.1, and now they are doing Bitcoin 20, and then, 11, and then 12, and then 20, 21, 22. What the heck is going on here?
So yeah, you have to look at that stuff. I mean, it's weird. It shouldn't be that much, and you just wonder why it's happening. And, you know, these people are just, I don't know, it's just very much just this.
We've been infiltrated.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
That's the truth. We've been infiltrated, and here's the thing. The only people who's going to say Bitcoin are the nodes.
Right.
Simple as that. And we have to run nodes.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Yeah, right. And that's another thing Kent mentioned, which Kent is such a great educator and super wise. But that's one thing, when I said it earlier, it was from his words. He mentioned that this is Bitcoin's immune system rising up. This is Bitcoin's immune system when Knots is gaining traction and when more nodes are rising and Core doesn't like it. It's like if there's a sickness, Bitcoin, because we're reacting, more people are running nodes, more people are running Knots. And if it becomes bigger than Core, that means that's the new consensus, you know? So we are Bitcoin and we decide what we think is healthy to do. And I just don't like the incentives, and I don't like the way people talk about it. I don't like the way people try to, just like the mortgage-backed securities, how, you know, just like in The Big Short, it was all confusion and words that people didn't understand, and everyone believed it. Everyone thought mortgage-backed securities are the best thing ever. Let's all do it, and let's all just give out loans like it was, you know, free candy, you know. And it was just nobody questioned it. Everyone just thought this is the new thing. This is what everyone's doing, you know. So you should question it, and we should learn from those mistakes. And as Bitcoiners, we've lived and seen the great financial crisis of 2008, which is why Bitcoin came out. I mean, it came out as a response to that kind of toxicity in the system. So, I mean, we're just, you know, we're fired up about it, but in a good way. And Bitcoin is fuck you money, and we want to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Keep it fuck you money. Mm-hmm. And run a notes node.
Yep.
Set up the filters properly. Make sure that it runs 24/7, that you download a properly clean blockchain. And what else? And then help other people to buy Bitcoin and do the same. I like this strategy you were talking earlier about getting, Bitcoin from miners on other countries in the world.
Yes.
Although I think it's kind of risky, respectfully, I think it's kind of risky.
Well, the paranoid part of me thought about that. I thought, you know, well, why would somebody, you know, trust, because you're buying this equipment, they're hosting it, so why would you trust it, right? But then it reminded me also of the fact that, you know, they only get paid when, you know, they don't get paid from the electricity or from the selling of the equipment. They get paid from when you earn Bitcoin, they earn Bitcoin. But at the same time, it reminds you of when you want to go on vacation, let's say to Mexico and to a nice resort, and people scare you and say, don't go to Mexico, you might get hurt. But at the same time, if somebody at the resort were to hurt or, you know, do something, steal from their patrons or their customers, then people would give bad reviews, and then the resort would go down. Nobody would go there anymore. So if a company like this is doing a good job and you're trusting it to host your miner, and they're building a good business and profiting off of it, and it's benefiting them to host you this way because it's a mutual beneficial relationship. So in order to just say, okay, we're going to close down now and just, and the Bitcoin goes directly to your wallet, by the way, every month. Yeah. So it's not like they're holding on to your Bitcoin stack and they're going to run off with it after you paid for this miner. Like, you're getting deposits to your wallet of your choosing. So pretty much the only thing they're holding as collateral is your miner. But if they decide to just, you know, cut you off, then you give them a bad review and their business goes down. So, but it's a mutually, I think, beneficial relationship with the customers they service and for the company to benefit. So I don't see, I think if it's a good business and it's good for everybody, you know, then everyone benefits. So,
Hey, Stacey.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I got this crazy idea now because, you know, with all these mining rigs, you know, the cost of that mining is basically like the cooling, right? Like I guess you'd have to pay a lot just to cool the entire system down.
Mm-hmm.
And, what other better place in the world that's super cold than, super up north in Canada? I'm gonna open up a mining rig in an igloo in Iqaluit, and if you guys want to just run it with Journey Pool, I'm right here. I will mine it for you with effectively no cooling cost because it's super cold up there, right? So send me a DM, and I will host your mining in an igloo number 5 in Iqaluit. And I'll send you your Bitcoin.
Yes. I mean, it's honestly an insanely good idea, right?
As if my paranoia meter wasn't already through the fucking roof.
But that's probably why the States wants to capture Canada anyways, because who lives up there? Nobody. You just put a bunch of mining rigs there, no cooling costs, free Bitcoin. Come on.
I mean, you have a point, but the point is in different places in the world. Even if it's cool, Journeyman, even if it's cool, you have to think about the kilowatts per hour, right? So if in Peru the energy is super cheap, right, then even if you have to cool it, but it makes more sense because the kilowatts per hour are so low, maybe in Canada the energy costs so much more. So maybe
you're a good point.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, you have to think about it, you know. You gotta think about it. I
haven't run
things.
Any mining. I'm not a miner. But I'm just starting to get into it.
Yeah, I haven't done it, but I think it's very interesting.
Well, I'm going to be experimenting with a lot of things because I'm working on some Bitcoin Army specific.
Yes.
Anyway. I do solo mining. I think it's kind of, you get a couple of big taxes, you set them up with Ocean. And once you set them up with Ocean, you set up the port. I mean, it's an application on your cell phone with the Bitaxis, and have it in a cool place, and you will start gaining satoshis. And after 1,140 satoshis, or 1,000,000, yeah, like in 1,100 satoshis, they will transfer. They don't transfer below that accumulation amount.
There are
You can actually do Lightning, and they will transfer it.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
So guys, if you like Lightning, remember to lobby for small blocks, because big blocks will make mining completely unrealistic once the emissions come down. So another 4, 8 years, 12 years, game over. We need small blocks. Otherwise, only gigantic miners can afford it.
A better way to centralize mining than to fucking take the power of mining out of the hands.
By using the Bitaxis, you are decentralizing mining.
Yeah. Right. Okay, but so you guys talk about centralization of mining, right? But here's my small little brain thinking about this. Because Bitcoin usage in my mind can become centralized through, like, you guys were talking about third parties, right? Like, if people park their coins on exchanges, then the exchanges essentially acts like a bank. And then you got custodians that could, like, collude with regulators to censor your withdrawals and do whatever the shit they want with your coins, right? So I think that's how you get, like, super centralized with Bitcoin, is that if nobody's running a node, like, it still doesn't change Bitcoin's base rule, right? Because
you're a bit confused.
But if the minority keeps running nodes, then Bitcoin stays uncapturable at the base layer, right? So the danger is almost if everyone migrates to custodial solutions. And then effectively you have centralization that happens, even if
you're
the
more confused. You are more confused than you think. Here's the thing. Bitcoin is composed of three elements, three columns. One is the users, the other one is the nodes, and the other one is the miners. The miners verify transactions, setting up blocks, and present them to the nodes. The nodes confirm that they are following the conditions of the Bitcoin consensus. And after that is done, the transactions of the users get verified and added to the block. The issue with the exchanges is that they are a ramp in and ramp off on a registered way with Bitcoin and the fiat system. The amount that is in the exchanges is no more than 3 million Bitcoin. The amount on custodians is about 2 million Bitcoin. So out of the 21 million Bitcoin, 4 million lost, 5 million in custodians, the rest is in the hands of Bitcoiners. So it's not centralized when it comes to users.
I think
when it comes to miners,
I think it's sort of maybe him thinking that the more people that get into Bitcoin, if they just keep it on exchanges, then it'll be centralized in the way where people aren't running their own BitX or aren't mining their own Bitcoin. So I think that the people that just get into Bitcoin and stay on exchanges,
they do run a risk of a 6102 again.
Mm-hmm,
do run a risk. That is a scare. So get your Bitcoin on the exchange, get a cell phone wallet and transfer it to that cell phone wallet, save the seed from the cell phone wallet, and erase the wallet from your cell phone. So your Bitcoin are safe and you're keeping the seed and they are on the Bitcoin blockchain. But
yeah,
don't leave it on the exchange.
Yeah, go ahead and finish up.
Don't leave it on the exchange. In 1933, the US confiscated all the gold in the US that was in the banks, in the equivalent of an exchange nowadays. So if you are doing a KYC, do it on exchange, get it on your account, pay for the Bitcoin, and then transfer it to your personal wallet. Do not leave it there.
Oh, and speaking of KYC, what you just said, good point, because just like what Killer B was talking about, what he's getting into and what he will be talking about more as time goes on, is, you know, to do with mining. And when you mine Bitcoin, however you mine the Bitcoin, it's the back to the roots, non-KYC.
Anonymous.
Right. You're paying for the energy you're using and you're earning Bitcoin. You're proof of working Bitcoin. You're earning it yourself. You're not having to go through an exchange. It is the actual original non-KYC method. You don't have to go through an exchange. It's not KYC. You could just try to mine Bitcoin. And there's many different methods to do it. And that is the magic. So even if you're not running a node, if you're not mining, yet. You could do the BitAx thing. You could do something, but it's just, you know, everyone should run a node.
But BitAx is mining.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it don't. In fact, if you use decentralized automatic block template, you can mine a block on a BitAx miner, and it goes to your wallet. You cannot move it for the next 100 blocks because that's what the Bitcoin consensus says. But after the 100 blocks, you want the entire reward, close to $400,000.
It's not just that you mine Bitcoin and then it's not centralized, because you still have to KYC for most other pools. You don't have to on Ocean.
No, you don't have to do it in Ocean.
Right, you don't have to do it on Ocean, but most every other pool, it's KYC.
But you can also do lottery mining, where you mine alone.
Totally.
Yeah, lottery mining, yeah, but you're just not earning Bitcoin every day as you're running it. You're just earning if you hit a block or you're part of a pool.
If you hit a block.
Yeah.
If you hit a block.
But yeah, with Ocean, it's like that's what SAS mining runs over there in Peru. And it's very fascinating. I love the idea.
It's really good. I love it. You can also get into communities of Bitcoin in your area. Mm-hmm. And then find out who is selling Bitcoin and then sit down, have a coffee and buy it P2P.
Yeah, right.
Which is non-KYC.
Yeah. And I always wondered how people did that. Because that's how they did it back in the day. You would just get the Bitcoin sent and you would get it. What did they say? OTC. Is that OTC? Is that what that's called?
It was local Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just getting direct.
You used to get into local Bitcoin, you get a profile, you don't have to verify your identity. It was beautiful. And then you get in and you put a picture and you get a profile and you start buying or selling. It was beautiful. Nowadays, it is still exists, but you can do it in Telegram. They have a worldwide open non-KYC several channels.
And I'd like to learn how to do that. Is that something that people are paranoid about doing, or is that something that
it's quite safe?
Is it
in person? How do you guys transfer the money?
No, you don't do it in person. With the Telegram bot, you go through a process. It's a sequence. It's like five steps. If you like it, I would explain it. It's fairly short.
Escrow. Okay.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. But yeah, you just I would wonder how if you send money, then how do you know you're going to get the Bitcoin?
Because so that's where the bot actuates as a custodian of the process.
Got you. So there's like the bot is the middleman, so you can make sure that
it's basically a middleman. It was invented around 12 years ago in Argentina, and if you put on the settings of the application of the channel, you put in your country, you do it only in your country. But if you look at the worldwide channel of that bot, you will see offers from Zimbabwe, from Canada, from all over the world.
I see. So this sort of reminds me of, I have kids, right? So I watch my kids play Roblox, you know, and it reminds me of this. I'm sorry to bring it up, but it reminds me of the fact that when my kids have something they want to trade with somebody else, they can't just give it to them because they don't know if they're going to get it back. So it goes into this middle portion where it's the trade section. And until they both enter their trade and then they click accept, then it initiates the trade. So I think it's kind of like how Roblox works. Pretty interesting.
It's the same sequence because you are having a custodian of the funds while the fiat payer executes the payment. And upon executing the payment, the seller releases the funds as an instruction to the bot, and then the bot shoots it to the buyer. It's a beautiful process.
Buy it for cheaper than market price, correct? And
No, people speculate. They're like anywhere else. I mean, you can be buying a spot +5, +5, +8, +10. If the market is going up drastically, if it's going down, the same. The range is speculators because when you open the channel, you start seeing offers of people to buy a certain price.
So it's like a bidding war.
It's a bidding war. It's an open market. Beautiful. That's truly an open market because you can offer Bitcoin minus spot minus 20. And if you want to, if somebody needs the cash right away, but you rarely see that. I mean, the lowest I've seen is spot minus 3, minus 5. But I've seen a spot my plus 15, plus 20, plus 40. Depends on the country, depends on the economical situation, the political situation. It's people don't realize, but the worldwide adoption of Bitcoin all over the world is higher.
You know, it'd be funny if you're like, I only want to buy that Bitcoin if it was run through knots, like if they could verify that they weren't using Core, because we're super paranoid. But yeah, I'm sure that's craziness. But I wanted to also, I know I have a little bit, I have a good amount of more time. I know that Journey Space is starting in less than an hour. So if we want to talk more about the coincidence of, you know, Core and what they're doing, but I wanted to also know, there was one other thing that I wanted to talk about because, and anyone jump in if you want to finish talking about what we were before about Core and coincidences and all that stuff, the timing of the government bloating the blockchain right when all these changes are being made. But the other thing I wanted to mention was how Jerome Powell admits to ditching the Fed target, you know, the 2% target they've been so hawkish over, trying to get it back down and all that stuff. And I find it interesting, again, the timing of this, because I didn't realize, like, I usually catch this kind of news, and I don't know how many of you caught it or missed it, but I missed this news. I may have been busy that week, probably. But it was something that was pretty big news. I would have thought it would be all over my Twitter feed, but I missed it. And I was just wondering what shiny media circus kept me away from, or maybe there was other things flooding my timeline that was just kind of hidden in the background. So I didn't know how many of you thought that timing was interesting of that, or what maybe was coming out at that time. What kind of news was going on maybe around August 22nd, I think, when that news came out about the Fed. You know, were we being distracted, you know, by that? Or was there some sort of just to kind of, not just us, but just people in general are distracted from the fact that the Fed pretty much gave up its fight on inflation, pretty much. That's what that means. And that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just a pressure gauge that it's just getting to, like, I don't know. It just feels like it's wearing out its welcome. I mean, that's why, you know, they're giving up ground. I don't know that. I mean, I wouldn't say I was like super tuned in, but I mean, I do follow market, you know what I mean? And, you know, I knew he was speaking on Friday and he was going to say, I didn't actually know that he was going to kind of dismiss the 2%. So yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise, but at the same time, I mean, you kind of know what's coming. So it's really like, we're just sitting here, just kind of like inching to this like particular finish line. And it's just kind of ridiculous. So I'm not super sure. But I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, like, you know, like the whole, like, I don't know, the whole week, you know, the market is just pricing in for whatever is going to happen on Friday. Right. And you know, that's why you see like all the red candles, all that stuff. I mean, I'm not a fan of this stuff, but I mean, I just try and keep an eye on it because it's kind of a part of like what I do on Wednesdays, to sort of correlate, you know, what's going on in the world to, you know, to things that I'll be honest, you know, I'm taking the high horse here, to things that I deem criminal. You know, and I try and get some kind of consensus agreement, right? And if I don't, then whatever, we move on to the next criminal act. But yeah, I mean, a lot of politics is theater. I mean, practically all of politics is theater. You rarely get somebody who's really trying to move a needle somewhere outside of a safety zone. I mean, you know, I'm like, when I think of like bear market, I'm really just waiting. Like I think of like politics. I think like Democrats are going to be in office, and that's going to be your bear market. Like that's basically when we're going to see, you know, shit go kind of south. So, I don't know, like, but the thing that I worry about, right, is attack vectors. That's why I kind of try and keep my focus there. Like, what are the attack points of Bitcoin? What are the attack points of you know, that a nation state can perform on society? You know, if they can, why wouldn't they?
right? You know, the flooding of the blockchain.
Yeah, and why wouldn't they have an interest, right? If they're flooding the blockchain right now at this time, and if there's, you know, why wouldn't they be interested in what's happening with Core and with an uprising, let's say, of Knots, when they're interested in a six-person get-together in Peru, you know, trying to check? I mean, it's just interesting because it's like if that's something that's being looked at or infiltrated, then why wouldn't Core be looked at?
Exactly.
The government wants a reason why they have to confiscate your Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. What better way to do that than illicit material on your mempool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To discredit sound money than to flood it with a bunch of illicit material? It's happened before, right? BSV. So, you know, who's to say? And now you're telling me we're gonna just, well, oh, this stuff doesn't work, so we're just gonna lift all the restrictions anyway, and just trust me, bro, it's gonna be fine. Like the free market is gonna sort this out. Like, f you, bro. Like, so I'm trying to curb my language here, but
you don't have to. This is the paranoia initiative.
Yeah, but it's the first one. I'm trying to, you know, I'm not trying to shake the tree just yet. You know, there's still time.
Yeah.
I did wanna kind of do a little bit of a
No, but wait. You say something very important.
I do need to, accountant, just hold on one second, because we do have I have a couple of things up in the nest that I want people to look at. Number one, we have our community page to look at. Join our community, the Bitcoin Army. We're doing all kinds of crazy things, like 7 days a week spaces, sometimes two shows. We're working on three, who knows. Our community is about promoting adoption, lifting up our fellow plebs, and making our voices heard. There's a different show every week, so you know, come check it out. Different spaces every week with different themes, different posts, amazing perspectives. So there's always something to do. We do have our schedule up there, that shows you all of the times, everything is in EST. And then a little treat, one of the fun little posts that I made about the rhetoric that Core, basically dances around. Go ahead, accountant. I'm sorry for,
all right. Thank you. I was gonna say that you said earlier something important, but now that it confirmed it that you are one of the administrators of the Bitcoin Army, I'm glad that you and the group woke up to the notes of Core and Knots issue, because I mentioned a few months ago and nobody paid attention, so I kind of distanced myself from the group. It's a very good vibe group, but we are under war. This is probably my third, fourth war in Bitcoin. I just want to tell you, you gotta be on top of things. You gotta study the topic, and these are critical moments. To simplify the issue between Knots and Core, Core wants to open the door to all kinds of things in the Bitcoin blockchain, and Knots wants to keep the Bitcoin blockchain monetary transactions only. Thank you for your time.
Yes. I love that. Absolutely. You said that. I love that you said, yeah, simplify the block, like simplify this whole thing. You know, it's not that complicated. K-N-O-T. It's not that complicated. It's not that complicated to mine. It's not that complicated to understand, you know, when you actually just can see, you know, with your bullshit meter and your paranoia, you know, detection on.
Yeah. And thank you, accountant, for your kind words. I mean, yeah, it's possible that a lot of us missed some stuff early on. Again, we are a growing community. We're in our freshman year. We're always looking for ways to expand. And, not everybody thinks the same way. You know what I mean? We don't want to be of this, of like, you know, the same hive mind, you know, although we do have, you know, a lot of similar thoughts and ideas, right? But yeah, like, you know, it's this specific like topic, this specific space is really about, you know, the who's and the whys, and you know what I mean? And like, how to, what to do, like how to protect yourself, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. What do you, and this is a perfect solution, right? You run, like, if something is disabling filters or just saying, oh, we're doing away with these filters because they don't work and everything, you know, is just fine. And just trust me, bro. What do you do? Well, there is, you know, there is a solution to that for right now. I mean, mm-hmm. are there, you know, can there be more? You know, should we rely solely on NOTS? No, at some point, maybe NOTS becomes compromised. But to say the core, like to say, trust me, bro, and all mm-hmm. this stuff, like core, in my way. Eyes, core is completely compromised. Like it's absolutely yeah. compromised. And we're delusional and all that, and we're retarded. So like I say, all right, great, mm-hmm. let's get extra
60 IQ.
Retarded.
I'm yeah. 60 IQ. Yeah.
I'm a big dummy, bro. And yeah. I can't understand all your crazy space well, words. So I'm just going to run that. Yeah. And you can GFY.
It's not like we can, we don't understand all that. That's meant to confuse us in a way, but we can see through that matrix. We can connect those dots. It's like, just like how we say we don't, like in the matrix, you don't see the people anymore. You just see the code, but we just see through, you know, through
we
that veil.
Through
yeah, we kind of
see through them.
Yeah, we can see through the, you know, the trust me bros and just like you guys are crazy. It's like, yeah, we are a little crazy. So, you know, the swarm rises, you know, that's the whole idea, the hive mind. But yeah, we are defenders of the hive too, you know. So we are
And this
just
is
posted.
Oh, what do you got?
I just posted on the Nest a node that I'm setting up for a customer. So there are the specs. He wanted a node to last for 10 years. So I put in the specs of the equipment that I bought that you can get at any store. And after that, just go to either Star9 and download the operational system. Download.
And this is to mine, you're saying?
No, this is to be a node.
To node. Okay,
a node. So
okay.
You put in the conditions. And you protect your money, because once you have a couple of thousand, I don't need to run a node. A couple of hundred thousand, I kind of need to run a node. You got a couple of million, you need to run a node. And you just said it. We're going to be attacked on and on and on. We've been attacked since we started.
Right.
Yeah, and you've been through a few cycles, you said, you know, so.
And it's not going to stop.
It's not going to stop. They're not going to like it. We're in the fight you stage because they already laughed at us. They already dismissed us. Now they copied us. Now they want to attack us. And they started attacking us on 2013 when they went for Silk Road. That's when they started attacking us directly. In that same year, we had a DOS attack, a 51% attack, where they made like 6 blocks or 4 blocks that were completely full of garbage. I mean, we've gone through, if you read the history of Bitcoin, we've been close to death so many times that we've gotten used to it.
Yeah, and it's only getting stronger. The people are getting stronger. The people are getting more, you know, wiser,
yes.
You know, so.
What gives you peace is that you do your part. And to
yeah,
do your part in Bitcoin nowadays is to.
So this happened today, by the way. Shinobi, as you guys know, published an entire article of his using Opportune, and so he basically spammed so you spam Bitcoin. So you know, this is what the core people are doing. You know, let's just make it cheaper to do that now. Yeah, you know, the dude paid 3x extra to do it.
Why?
Showed you guys
he wants to show that nobody can touch him.
Yeah, you're intentionally adding spam to the Bitcoin blockchain like a good shitcoiner would do.
So don't fight.
Is that like a what you would say is a tool or somebody who's what's the word for that?
A troll.
I think he's
a
tool. He's a tool.
Yeah, there's plenty of adjectives to add. for him. I have quite a few choice ones.
I was gonna say a word, but I don't know if I should. But
say it.
All right. I was just gonna say he's acting kind of like a douche. I don't
millions of people have died. Millions of people, you know, go through war and live in poverty because a handful of people print money as debt out of thin air. And Bitcoin can be this thing that progresses mankind to be such an amazing place, And here you have Shinobi spray painting gay ass graffiti on it because, you know, you could. So, Run Knots. Look, I even say it. I say it in almost every single space. In your own mind, you guys are filtering out scammy shitcoins. So if you're in your own mind, you're filtering it out, then there's no reason that you shouldn't do the same with your money.
Yeah, exactly. Make it an extension of the self and Run Knots. The thing that I kind of keep in my purview, right, is endgame. Okay, when did the attacks stop coming? Okay, really?
They have not.
Exactly.
They have not.
Exactly. When did the attacks stop coming? When the interested parties no longer have power to attack. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only time the attacks will stop. Because as long as fiat slave mindset exists, and as long as there's a chance to hang on to hope for people who have had it a certain way their whole lives and, you know, are benefiting from, you know, from a system by design that disenfranchises millions,
they will continue to attack.
It's going to keep happening. Exactly. So you are fucking cyber hornets, all of us. Like, we're not meant to benefit from Bitcoin solely. We are meant to defend it. That's the whole point of this experiment. How bad do you want freedom? Enough to actually fight for it? Or is this something that you're going to sit, you know, that you want to sit next to your favorite little, figurine, you know, on your little, on your nightstand or something?
Does it
sit next to your remote control? Or is it something that you're actually going to fucking protect and take care of?
Yeah, the amazing
Miyamoto Musashi, the only samurai who was never defeated in battle, and he said this important phrase: "The price of eternal freedom is constant vigilance."
Yes, yes, you have to. I mean, that's the thing. You're part of this network. You fight for it. You know, you fight by defending it. You know. And that's why this community is so powerful. The Bitcoin Army is so powerful because, you know, years ago, you didn't have communities getting together like this. And now when you see that we are all, you know, we have this interest to keep Bitcoin secure. And that's one thing Jeff Booth always says: as long as Bitcoin stays decentralized and secure, you know, that's one thing he always reminds people at the beginning of, you know, before Bitcoin wins, as long as it stays decentralized and secure. And the Bitcoin Army, you know, this group of people coming together and sharing their thoughts, not being afraid to share their thoughts, not being manipulated by people telling them they're stupid for thinking these thoughts. We're coming together and we're stronger than ever because of this, you know. So if we weren't as a group and sharing our ideas and encouraging everyone to speak up and realize that other people think the same way you do, you're not alone. You know, when you're separated, you're defeatable, you know, but when you're not, you know, when you're
stronger.
Yeah. When you're together, you're stronger, you know, and this is only getting stronger. Right now, the Bitcoin Army just passed, I think, 6,000 people, you know, so
6.6.
Well, Bitcoin is neither for the lazy nor for the dumb. So get ready to study, to watch the podcast, to run a note.